And here we are. I'm Jonathan Capehart, sitting in today for Leonard Lopate. When 81-year-old Jay Mendelson decided to audit the freshman seminar on Homer's Odyssey that his son Daniel teaches at Bard College, the two found themselves in uncharted territory. Jay, a retired research scientist, persistently challenged his son's interpretations of the classic epic and disparaged Odysseus as no real hero. Despite their differences, the father and son decided to go together on an Odyssey-themed Mediterranean cruise. Daniel Mendelson, a frequent contributor to The New Yorker and the New York Review of Books, tells the story of the classic seminar and the cruise in a new memoir from Knopf called An Odyssey, A Father, A Son, and an Epic. And I'm pleased it brings another friend, my friend Daniel Mendelson, back to the show. Great to see you. It's been a long time since I've seen
you. I know. Great to see you too, Jonathan. I'm trying to remember the last time we did something together.
Well, whenever it was, we looked the same. So tell us a little bit about your childhood. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a suburb on Long Island in Nassau County, a bedroom community, very ordinary, pleasant suburban life, and was lucky to have two very different parents who make dramatic appearances in this new book. My dad, who was a research mathematician, and my mom, who was a school teacher, and everything sort of starts there.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe your relationship with your dad?
Well, when I was growing up, I was a little intimidated by him. My dad was both by temperament and also, I think, just by the generation that he was in American parenting, not a warm fuzzy.
Removed.
Not
distant. Not removed. Distant.
Yeah. I mean, he was not demonstrative, mm-hmm. you know. He demanded a lot from us. He was obviously, you know, very smart, given what he did for a living, but he was also self-educated largely. He was really self-taught in terms of everything but his education as a scientist and mathematician. And he demanded a lot from us. We had to get good grades in school. There was no option. You know, there was a tremendous emphasis on academic achievement, on listening to the right kind of music, being interested in the right kinds of things. And so I was a little afraid of him.
You ever ask him for math help?
Well, yes, but with great terror. Because, you see, I was interested in history and literature and what he considered to be soft subjects, I guess. And I was terrible in math. It was always my Achilles heel, not to indulge in a Homeric pun. And and it was hard for me, but I was always doing terrible in math, and I would sort of anxiously stand at the door to his bedroom holding this, you know, failing math quiz and asking him for help. But it was hard for him to ease up. And so I was a little intimidated by him until I was in grad school, actually.
When you were in grad school, when you maybe older, felt like you could do... You could go toe-to-toe with him?
Well, to some extent. I mean, one never jumped in toe-to-toe right. with my father, because when he got into an argument, he was like a dog with a bone. But what happened was, when I decided to study classics at the graduate level, I think it was at the beginning a little suspicious. He didn't know how you could make a career out of, you know, interpreting ancient literature. But once he realized how rigorous the program was and how rigorous the languages were and the entire course of study and what was actually involved in being a classical philologist, that he respected. You know, anything that was difficult, he loved. That was, well, this is a famous thing in my family. You know, that was his thing. If it's only worth doing if it's difficult. If it's easy, if it's pleasant, not worth doing.
So what drew you to the classics then? If you've got this dad who's a mathematician, which is very clear, 2 + 2 = 4, to be very simple with my math.
Right.
But there you are in literature, in the classics, mm-hmm. as your dad called the soft subjects.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's always a mystery how kids get interested in things. I will say this, to throw a sort of curveball, which is, my dad had been a Latin whiz when he was a high school student. It's actually very common for kids who are good in math to be also good in Latin, because both require a kind of taste for paradigms, actually. And he, to his credit, he didn't disapprove of my interest in classics. And in fact, Look, I grew up on Long Island in the 1970s, and, you know, there was a sort of a standard career path for people of my generation. You were supposed to go to a good school and become an orthodontist or a lawyer or a professional. And to their credit, you know, neither my dad nor my mom batted an eye when I said I wanted a major in classical Greek. I'm not sure he totally understood that I was going to get me anywhere, but they mm-hmm. didn't say, oh, you can't do that. So I was lucky in that respect.
So let's talk about the Odyssey. Why is the Odyssey a good choice for your freshman seminar at Bard?
Well, I think, look, there are two great Homeric epics, the Iliad, which is a very difficult poem of war and quite grisly and tough, and the Odyssey, which is, you know, to some extent, it's the first sci-fi adventure, right? This guy leaves his home, goes to exotic uncharted worlds, meets fabulous creatures, has extraordinary experiences, and finally makes it home. So it's, you know, it's not unlike Lost in Space or The Wizard of Oz. Mm. And for that reason, first year students tend to love it because it's more accessible and there's more fantasy and charm and delight than meets the eye at first in the Iliad. So that's why it's a good subject for a freshman seminar.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, sitting in for Leonard Lopate, speaking with Daniel Mendelsohn about his new book, An Odyssey, A Father, A Son, and An Epic. So here you are, you're teaching the Odyssey, freshman seminar, and your dad decides to audit the course. Given what you've just told us about your father, how on earth did you allow this to happen?
Well, it was funny because at the he, you know, periodically throughout his life was trying to get his Latin back. And so, you know, we're always sort of bound by the classics in one way or the other. And I told him at the beginning of 2011 that I was going to be doing this freshman Odyssey seminar. He said, you know, Dan, I haven't really looked at that since I was in high school in 1947. And, you know, maybe it'd be fun for me to sit in. And so I had two reactions, basically. The first was I was impressed because that was my father. He never stopped wanting to educate himself, and that was very typical. And then, of course, total horror because I, you know.
Because you knew it was coming.
Well, because, I mean, all kidding aside, especially when you're teaching first-year students, you know, it's quite a challenge to build a pedagogical bond from the get-go. And this was an intensive seminar, so you had to sort of hit the ground running. And I did worry a lot about what it would be like to have my octogenarian father grumbling, you know, in the corner, which is, of course, as you know, exactly what happened.
Did he promised you that, I promise, Daniel, I will not say anything. Yeah. I'll be quiet.
Yeah.
Right? And then how long did that last?
That lasted
the very first
7 minutes. So when we talked about it beforehand, I said, are you going to participate? Whatever. He said, no, I'll just sit in the corner. I'll listen. And I said, okay. And then 7 minutes into the first class, he raises his hand. He says, I don't think Odysseus is a hero. What's so heroic? He cries. He cheats on his wife. He tells lies. I don't understand what's supposed to be so great about the guy. And that, it was like that for the next 14 weeks. You know.
How did you respond to that?
Well, I mean, you know, it was really funny because it was, all kidding aside, it was a great challenge because what am I going to do? Say, shut up, Dad.
No. I mean, you could have.
The kids, I have to say, in this class were a fabulous bunch of kids, which I recount in the book, some really great personalities. I have to say the upshot, you know, in the long run, it turned out to be good because particularly freshmen, I think, can be intimidated by a professor. And by having this guy there who was sort of the leader of the opposition and who was a grown-up, and not only a grown-up, but my father, I think it actually emboldened the kids to be more outspoken with their own ideas than they would have been. So actually it turned out, as challenging and crazy as it often was, it turned out to be a good thing for the course.
They loved your dad. You heard from them after the class was over. Yeah. What did some of them say?
Well, they just, you know, it was funny because, you know, you only can look at your parents through your own eyes and then you see them through other people's eyes. It's always a shock. And they said, oh, he was so charming. He was so funny. We loved having him in the class. Even though he didn't agree with you, I still remember getting one email from a kid. He said, even though it was obvious, he very rarely agreed with you. It was nice to have him in the class. And you know, after he got sick, I also heard a lot from the kids. And one of them said the most touching thing, which was, she said, whenever I read the Odyssey from now on, I will think about your father. And that was very moving.
You, after the seminar, you and your father, because having him in the class wasn't enough. You went on an Odyssey-themed Mediterranean cruise, which had its own challenges.
Yes.
Why did you do this?
Well, we did. A friend of mine, a classic professor at Princeton, heard that I was doing this crazy thing with my father teaching him. And she said, you know, there's this wonderful cruise. It recreates the voyages of Odysseus. Why don't you do it? So I called my dad, and my dad typically was not one for vacations, for luxury, for spending money. And so I thought he was going to say no. But actually, he said, yeah. And actually, while I'm talking to him, I'm remembering, he not only said he'd do it, but he said, find out what the nicest cabin is, and I'll spring for it. And that practically, I mean, that just floored me. If my siblings are listening right now, they're lying on the floor laughing. And I thought, you know, why not? Because we had, in a funny way, we had actually bonded during the course of the semester. I understood things about him through his reactions to the poem that I never really saw before. And I thought, how could we not do this? And then the cruise itself had its own, you know, appropriately, its own adventures.
Well, you just said you expressed surprise when he said, what's the best cabin? Yeah. And you're like, who is this man?
Right.
But on that cruise, you saw more moments of like, who is this guy? Who is that man singing in the piano?
He really, that's right. Every night there's a little gaggle of passengers would gather around the piano in the lounge, and the pianist was always playing favorites from the Great American Songbook, which was my dad's material. That's what made him happier than anything else. And he would sing along and reminisce and tell stories. And it's funny because, you know, the Odyssey, as we know, is a poem about identity. You know, this guy goes away for a long time. He comes back after 20 years. He has to prove who he is. So it raises the question, how do you know who someone is? And, you know, the voyages of Odysseus reveal him to be a person with many different facets, some attractive and some not. And this adventure that I had with Dad really revealed a side of him that was unexpected. I think he was just relaxed. And I think he was sort of proud of himself for having gotten through the course and loved having a chance to show off what he'd learned. And he's just became a sort of different self. And I thought that was very Odyssean.
There was a touching moment, but also a pivotal moment on this cruise. And that was when you got to the cave that allegedly belonged to Calypso, and you didn't want to go.
No.
You didn't want to do it.
I'm notoriously claustrophobic. I'm just coming up here in an elevator for 8 floors, set my teeth on edge. And so they said, oh, who wants to go to Calypso Cave? And I told everyone I wasn't going because, like, the idea of wedging myself into this narrow cleft in the rock face made me hyperventilate. And my father put his foot down. It's actually very funny. And he said, how can you come to Malta and here's Calypso's cave where Odysseus spent 7 years and not go? And he took me by the hand, a thing he had not done, I'm pretty sure, since 1965. When I was 5 years old, and he said, I'll take care of you, don't worry. And so we went into the cave, and I actually did feel better holding him by the hand. But then I realized that actually everybody thought I was holding him by the hand because he was elderly and frail. And that was an untruth that he promoted later on when people asked, and he said, oh, Dan was helping me because he wanted to save my face and not let people know how chicken I was. And that was a really wonderful moment.
After the, not long after the cruise, your father became ill.
Mm.
How much longer after the cruise when you came back?
It was just a couple of months. He tripped in a parking lot, actually when the whole family was gathered for Thanksgiving. And then a little while after that, he had a very massive stroke. Mm. It was a very difficult time for all of us, but it was really, you know, illness makes people more themselves, I think. And he was his best self during that illness because my father loved nothing so much as a challenge. You know, as I said before, if it was tough, he loved it. And he almost came back from this very debilitating stroke. And in fact, the last thing he said to me while he was still compos mentis was about the Odyssey. He turned to me. Well, I had written a little magazine article about the cruise, and I read it to him. And he was sort of lying in this hospital bed, and he looked at me and he said, with one side of his mouth drooping down because of the joke, he said, "I still don't think he's a hero." And that was literally the last thing he said to me. And that was him.
A sign of the bond that the two of you created in your freshman seminar and on that cruise. Daniel Mendelsohn, award-winning memorist and critic. We've been talking about your latest book, An Odyssey, A Father, A Son, and An Epic. Tomorrow night at 7, Daniel will be speaking at the Barnes & Noble on Broadway and 82nd Street. For more information, visit our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Jonathan.